Esprit. So after me, our Father, we come to you today. We come to hear your word, brother.
Our heart is open to your word. Our spirit is receptive to your word. We receive your word today with gladness of heart. The eyes of our understanding is enlightened. As we behold you, as we behold the word, we see you as you see us in you. In you. We are edified, and Jesus is glorified. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, quickly. 1 Corinthians. That's where we are. Oh, that's where we are. Our study on the book of 1 Corinthians. Quickly. I know. Chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I know. Okay. We discussed some things in the course of the last two classes or last three teaching, last two sessions. But let me just do a quick rundown. You know, we were able to discover that the church at Corinth is a baby church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul said he couldn't speak to them as unto spiritual people, couldn't speak to them as unto spiritual, which is their identity. Do you understand me? Remember, he told them that they are in the spirit. You understand? He told them they're in the spirit. So he said, I couldn't speak to you as who you are, but rather as unto Cana. Now he didn't say they become like the hidden nations, no. But he said they are not acting as who they are supposed to be. Do you understand me? Why? Because of what? Strife. Right? Was that what we saw? In chapter 1, we saw that they were divisions. They had divisions amongst them. Chapter 1, verse 10. Paul said, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, I plead with you, brethren, Adolphus, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing, and that there be no division. Did you see that? Amongst you. Now, look at verses 11. He said, for it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of who? Of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. And I said the word for contention, the word eris, strife, right? Right? Now, they had strife. First thing that they had strife about, divisions about, is about who baptized who, and into what were you baptized? Hallelujah. You see that? Hallelujah. And Paul quickly tackled it. In chapter 1, they had divisions over who is our minister. Some say I'm for Paul, some say I'm for Apollos, some say I was baptized with water, some say I was baptized with what? By the Spirit. Some say I'm baptized, I'm for Cephas. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Paul immediately went after that. Verse 9, he says, God is faithful by whom you were called into fellowship. You know, he quickly identifies that we are called into fellowship. Not fellowship with water, but fellowship with his son. Not fellowship with, do you understand me? With his son. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Glory to God. And we see that in verse 29, he said, that no flesh should glory in the spread of authority, but of him you are in Christ. Did you see? Tells them the identification. You are in Christ. So therefore you've been baptized into Christ. No, but, do you understand me? Glory to God. He tells them their reality. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then in chapter 2, he spent all the whole of chapter 2 explaining to them giving them some, how should I put it? Giving them tips or a whole lot about them being spiritual. Hallelujah. Unveiling the mystery to them. Hallelujah. So he has revealed it to us. Say, who has known the mind of Christ? Hallelujah. Say, we have it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In chapter 3, the same Paul was addressing the division over Paul. Some say I'm for Paul, some say I'm for Apollos. Hallelujah. Some say I'm for Paul. Rather say I'm for Apollos. I belong to Apollos. Paul said, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? We are what? Laborers. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He now says verse 7. So, chapter 3, verse 7. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He went ahead to tell us something in verse 9. Look at what they say, for we are God's fellow workers. I and Apollos, we are God's fellow workers. Do you understand me? He said, who are they? He said, you are God's field. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Paul went ahead to now tell them, hey, I'm a master builder. Hallelujah. Architekion, right? I'm a master builder. I'm a master builder. Glory to God. Did you get that? He said, he went ahead to now affirm his apostleship. He said, I have laid the foundation. Temelios. Hallelujah. Sorry. He said, I've laid the foundation. He said, let he who builds take heed how he builds, right? He said, no other foundation can a man lay except what? Except who? Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he gives his, this is my ministry. Glory to God. And we looked at it critically and we said that the work of any other, see, the foundation has been laid by the apostles, right? We saw that, hallelujah, from Ephesians. Glory to God. Hallelujah. From Ephesians, we saw that the foundation has been laid. Hallelujah. So we build. Hallelujah. We build on the foundation has been laid, which is Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Okay. In chapter 4, we look at the fact that there was contention also in chapter 4. How many of you know that there was contention in chapter 4? They began to judge Paul. They were actually contending concerning Paul's apostleship. So Paul went ahead to say, told them, you can have several instructors. Hallelujah, I love that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at verses 15. It says, though you may have 10,000 instructors, it's from the noun that means we've been used to the word to train, which is what? Paideia, right? Now, another word was added at the back. It's somehow dicey for me to pronounce. G-O-G-O-S. Paideia gogos. Something like that. Yeah. Hallelujah. Paideia gogos. It means a... Take note. Now, somebody will look at it and say, it is the one who trains you to come up. No. Jonathan, because paideia is there. Listen, that word, I showed us another similar meaning, is a word for what? Schoolmaster, used in Galatians chapter 3. Did you remember that? When it said the Lord was our schoolmaster, our tutor. Now, listen, the word for tutor is not the one that brings you up. It's the, like a nanny. Let me, that is the best word I qualify, like a nanny. Glory to God. And I say, you might have 10,000 nannies. But one father. So he went ahead and tell them, I begat you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That was why in verse 16, he can tell them, in verse 16, say, therefore I urge you, imitate me. Do you understand me? The father confirms, this guy is the father. Hallelujah. Remember I said, he planted the church. Imitate me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The word imitate is the word M-I-M-E-T-E-S. is pronounced Mimetes. M-I-M-E-T-E-S. Pronounced M-I-M-A-Y-T-A-C-E. Okay, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It means to mimic, to do exactly what was done by another person. Did you see that? Now, Paul says, imitate me. Glory to God. Did you see that? Huh? We find that same word used in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. He's telling the church, the same church at Corinth. Look at chapter 11, verse 1. Look at what he tells them in chapter 11, verse 1. Tells them, verse 1. He said, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. He tells the same church. Hallelujah. Imitate me. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. He told the church at Ephesus to imitate God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going to get to that later on today. 1 Thessalonians 1, 6. You should be writing down. Write first. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 1, 6. 1 Thessalonians 2, 14. Hebrews 6, 12. 1 Peter 3, 13. 1 Thessalonians 1, 6, 2, 14. Hebrews 6, 12. 1 Peter 3, 13. Hallelujah. If you didn't get that, you can come in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So he tells them, imitate me even as, therefore I want you to imitate me. Say, for this reason, because he wants them to imitate him. Now, to imitate him is to follow his word. And we'll see. He said, for this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The same way in chapter 16, look at chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians quickly. His closing remarks. He also spoke about the fact that, let's go there. Hallelujah. Verses 12. Look at what he says in verses from verse 10. Chapter 16, verse 10. Look at what he says. He says, and if Timothy comes, now he gives them instruction on how they should receive Timothy when he comes. Then look at verses 12. Look at verse 12. He said, now concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urge him to come to you with the brethren. But he was quite unwilling, meaning he was also sending Apollos to him. What does this tell you as a good Bible student? It means that the strife that was existing in the church has got nothing to do with Paul and Apollos. Do you understand me? The church had their strife, but Paul and Apollos were not beefing. Do you understand that? Do you understand what I just said now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, as your spiritual father, he also sends people to come teach them the word. And I said that is the work of the spiritual father. He can lead you to, this is who to listen to. Do you understand me? Glory to God. Do you understand? Like I told us during the time we had a meeting on how to study. Did you remember that class? And I said, you guys can listen to Pastor Shebo online, right? Right? Did you remember that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Very important. Okay, let's go ahead. Can we go ahead? Now in chapter 5, there is another contention. This church has got contention. There are different things they're disputing over. Hallelujah. They're disputing over. And Paul addresses, you see, when Paul was addressing the church at Ephesus, at Corinth, look at the two words Paul strongly used in addressing their contention. First of all, majorly dominant. He tells them first about their identification. Paul talks about identification, and then he talks about walking in love. Do you understand me? He tells them to walk in love. In fact, in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, he spoke extensively about love. About love. Hallelujah. And then chapter 14, he told them, chapter 14, verse 1. Hallelujah. Let's look at chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, verse 1. It says, pursue love. The translation will say, follow charity, right? Not sister charity, love. And desire spiritual gift. Did you see? Hallelujah, glory to God. But especially that you may prophesy. Hallelujah.
Do you understand that? So we're going to get to that point too. But you see, I just want to give you an overview of what is happening.
Glory to God. Paul spoke to them on how to walk in love. Walk in love. Now in chapter 5, they had contention, or should I call it like a contention? There were some who had immoral acts. They had brethren who were immoral in their conduct. Fornication. Chapter, in the opening verse, verse 1, in that chapter, he said the kind of fornication that was existing around was such that was not even named among the Gentiles, that a man should have his father's wife. Leave any whatever that is there is his father's wife, is his father's wife. Glory to God. Now he said, look at verses 2. After saying that thing, I say, ask somebody in the office, the person still feel. Yeah, I said it there. And I told him, I have a video for you. He said, okay. I said, a young man slept with his father's wife. Automatically he slept with what? Slept with his mother. I said, you failed. What is the answer? He slept with his father's wife. Who can either be the mother or not the mother? Well, it's just funny. Okay, let's go ahead. Chapter 2. He said, and you are puffed up. You see, remember the word puffed up, right? Right? Okay, glory to God. I said, we discovered that from our study that the word to puff up is to what? To be proud. And we say is a walk in the flesh. Did you see? Is a walk in the flesh. Now he said the church didn't actually give heed to what was happening, as in they neglected these ones. They allowed it to continue.
Listen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, he says, they are puffed up. He said, you should have mourned for the one who has done this kind of thing. Do you understand? Something is happening around you and you are just, I don't care attitude.
Does it concern me? Do you understand? And Paul gave a verdict. He gave a verdict. And he said, this one should be delivered to Satan, which means to be excommunicated, right? To receive an open rebuke, which I'm going to explain further, as in briefly now. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He said, you are puffed up. You're proud. You didn't send what was happening around you. You just allowed it. And that was why Paul said something in verse 7. I mean, from verse, verse 7. Look at verse 7. He says, no, verse 6. He said, your glorying is not good. He was referring to them. Your boasting, the way they handled it was not good. Look at what I said. Do you not know that a little living? Did you see that? A little living. What did they do? Living at the whole long. Hallelujah. Does this not sound like Paul telling, like Paul saying, evil communication corrupt good manners? Doesn't it sound that way? It sounds alike. It's a little living. Living at the whole of. Do you understand me? The little thing you have taken your eyes away from. Very soon. Do you understand? It will spread around the whole brethren. It's a little living. Living at the whole of. That's what Paul was communicating. Look at what he went ahead to say. Therefore, purge out the old living that you may. Look at what he said. Purge out the old living. Now, we're going to go back to first usage. What does it mean, living? Yeah, living bread or living bread. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That you may be a new lump, sincere and truly, since you truly are unleavened Now,
he uses the word unleavened. And he said, a little leaven. Take note of the words.
Do you understand me?
Take note of the word. It refers to the man who has committed the act as a living
bread.
Not living, L-I-V, L-E-A-V.
Do you understand me?
Living, but we need a yeast bread. Which connotes something that is, which connotes sin in this context and in every other context where it is used as we will look at it.
Do you understand me? Connotes sin.
It connotes something that is forbidden.
Do you understand me?
Now he said, take away the sin that you may be a new law. We'll go back to
the Old Testament to look at that soon. Now look at what he now said. For indeed, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us.
Paul was actually quoting from the Old Testament what he said. Do you understand me? All what Paul is saying is quoting from the Old Testament.
Are you with me? Eh? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 12. Let's quickly watch to Exodus chapter 12.
Remember, it calls us the what? It calls the guy who does, the man that walks in the flesh as the what? Living bread. And we, okay.
Okay, let's go ahead. We, he calls us, or he calls the church. Let me use that because it's not just up here. He calls the church unliving, right? Exodus chapter 12. I'm going to read from verse 1. It says, now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be the beginning of month. It shall be the first month of the year to you. He says, speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the tenth of this month, which is the first month, every man shall take for himself a lamb. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Remember, Paul said Christ is our Passover, right? Right? Hallelujah. We'll look at a lot. First, no, just be there. I want to just check something quickly. Okay, Christ our Passover. Okay, now he said, take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need. You shall make your count for the lamb. Verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, now keep until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. Verse 7. And they shall make some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the house where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roast it in fire with unleavened bread. Did you see that? With unleavened bread and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw or boil it. Verse 17. In verse 17. Look at what God now said. Okay. No, let's start from verse 15 so you understand. 14. So this day shall be to you a memorial. Did you see? A memorial. And you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generation. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. Take note of the word your generation. Hallelujah. Now it says, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. Did you see that?
This is where Paul was quoted, where he said, take away the what?
The living bread. Did you see that? Take away the living.
Did you see that? Now he said, you put away the what? The living from your house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Paul explaining how this one should be dealt in the church was making a pointer to what? The Old Testament. Did you get that? Okay, let's go ahead. Now, I move on. And whoever eats the unleavened bread from the first day till the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Okay. Verse 17. So you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread on this same day I have brought, brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, observe this day throughout your generation as an everlasting ordinance. Hallelujah. 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 Deuteronomy. Exodus 23. Let's look at Exodus 23 too. Hallelujah. Verse 15. Old Testament, Paul. Okay. Hallelujah. God was giving them instructions on the annual feast that they should have. You know, Israel has
three kinds. They have different. They have the Feast of the Trumpets. Those things are symbolic.
Hallelujah. Look at verse 15. He said, you shall keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Take note of this. Shall keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I have commanded you, at the time appointed in the month of Abib. That is the first month. What we have today as January. It's actually the month of Abib. Do you understand? Now, for in it you came out of Egypt. None shall appear before me empty. Now, he spoke about the feast of the first fruit and things like that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Also in Deuteronomy chapter 23, you can also read more about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Hallelujah. Now, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, listen, which is a day after the Passover. Celebrated a day after Passover. Listen, I want to share something with us. And if you have not been paying attention, this is the time I need you to give me your ears. Just write your name on your ears and pass it to me. Like I'm talking to the ears. Hallelujah. So give me your ears. This is how it is. Give me your ears. Hallelujah. Okay. I need your ears. I need your attention now. Because if you miss it now, I'll have to come back again because of you. Now, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, or what happened in Exodus chapter 12, was, we call it something, who can tell me, when a fact points to a greater fact. What is it called? That is not talking about itself. Call it a name. You said it now. Okay, they did not hear. Only Ruth heard.
Okay, somebody should say it.
My dad, not Pastor Wisdom. Okay, an event that points to another event. For example, Jesus Christ washed the feet of his disciples. Nobody passed that pass yonder. Mind me. No, Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, and he said, "This is an example," and I called it something.
Let me use another example. When he spoke about this one, you would know, that's why you want to use this example. He showed Moses the temple which we are. Then Moses built a tabernacle pointing to the greater temple, which pointing to us. What is that?
You've not been studying your notes. Huh? Somebody should just... You put in here. Hmm?
Guys, well, we're growing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Use a second. A second. I just messed up something. Having a study. Okay. Can we go ahead? So how many of you know it now? Eupodegma. When something lesser points to something greater. Do you understand? Now, here is the pointer.
All this story I've just said. Here's the pointer. The lamp that they keep. The lamb that they killed was pointing to a greater event that will happen in the future. Remember, he said, it shall be for what? You just read it now. That what happened? That the Lord, how the Lord delivered them. Colossians 1:13.
Who has delivered us? Right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses. Just put your hands in Exodus. I'm coming there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. If you are there, read. Verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you understand me? Jesus referred to himself as the unliving. But we'll get to that too. Hallelujah. So he became sin for us. Remember what I told you about? As a living bread. Now, remember what I told us about the living bread? It signifies what? Sin. Are you listening? We're going to get to that shortly. Also, John chapter 1, verse 29, he says, I'm a bit, I have to be fast because I wanted to cover beyond this. He said the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He takes away the sins of the world. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now we are coming. So he takes away the sins of the world. Let's look at, now in talking about this, you see, Paul made mention of these for a reason. Glory to God. And I want to show you something. Look at, go back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter. I said you're going to give me keen attention to understand, to hear what I'm saying. 1 Corinthians again, chapter 5. We've seen in chapter 5. Oh, Father.
Now, he says, for indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us.
Hallelujah. So, now, we've seen in the Old Testament, the feast of the Passover, right? It's accompanied by, the Passover is accompanied by the Feast of the Living Bread the next day, right? Now, look at something. In the days, now, that feast continued even in the days of Christ. Hallelujah. It continued. Hallelujah. And take note of something else. There's something that people confuse when they read Paul's writing. They're confused when Paul uses the word when Paul uses the word supper. Lord's Supper, they confuse it for they confuse it for Passover. Do you understand? If you read in context, I was studying again some few days back, because of our class, I've been studying this book over and over. I studied some few days back and I saw some things, and I was like, wow. Do you understand? I read again and I picked up some materials and I discovered that, wow, it's in line. Do you understand? And it further explains the fact that these things have been there, but the restrictions we have is reading things out of context or reading it in according to chapter. Take away the chapters, take away the verses. Chapters and verses are for references. In your study, read in context from beginning to the end. You will understand the bigger picture. Do you understand me? And that was why I could come again to them and tell you, this is what happened in this chapter and this chapter. Do you understand me? Always study. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now let's look at something. Look at what Paul did. Paul made mention of something and said, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Jesus Christ, while he was on the earth, in Luke chapter 22. Before we go look at Luke 22. Okay, let's look at Luke 22 verse 20. First of all, Luke 22, from verse 20, look at what happened. We need you to pay keen attention. For verse 20, are you in verse 20? It says, likewise. Now, let's start from verse 14. When the hour had come, he sat down with the 12. Now, this was... to understand the gist, look at verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. Did you see that? That is a practice. Do you understand? The Passover was a practice. Now, verse 8. And he sent Peter. If you read John's account, they asked. Was it either John or Matthew? Asked. They asked, what shall we have for Passover? Do you understand me? But Luke didn't take that account. Now he answered, and he sent John and Peter, saying, go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat. Do you understand me? Go prepare that we may eat. So they said to him, what do you want us to prepare? Okay, he's here. Verse 10. And he said to them, behold, when you have entered a city, you meet a man carrying a pitcher. So he gave them what to do. Now, this is the day. This is the time. Verse 14. When the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Do you understand me? Listen, the Passover feast existed before Christ. So Jesus didn't institute Passover. Right or wrong? Okay. Did Jesus institute Passover? No, sir. Okay, let's go ahead. Now, so he said he wanted to. Now, before now, has Jesus encountered Passover? Yes. 33 times. You understand me? 33 times. He had. Do you understand me? Now, does it mean apart from the Passover, they don't have supper? No. You need to understand all this. Whatever. Do you understand? Okay. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Before I read this, look at John 12:2. Before we go ahead, we are coming back to this. John chapter 12 verse 2. I say you need to give me keen attention. John chapter 12 verse 2. John 12:2. Let's start from verse 1.
Now he said, then 6 days before the Passover, 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been dead, and whom he raised from the dead. They made him a supper. Was this for Passover? Was this for Passover? So that is one. Open your Bible again to chapter 13, verse 2. You need to. Now this is No, I don't want us to read this. No. But you can have 13 verse 2. Okay, I missed this. I have other scripture I wanted to show us, but I missed that scripture. I'm going to look for it later for us. Now, from that John alone, you discover that Jesus had supper that was not on Passover day. So that should bias any mind that comes that supper has to do with. Do you understand? It should bias your mind. You grab? It should make you stop thinking supper has something to do with Passover. Do you understand that? Supper is any last meal that you take. The last is not breakfast, but the last. Do you understand me? Okay. Are we done? Okay. Let's go back to that look. I want you to understand that now. Now, it says, for I said to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Strong. Verse 17. Then he took the cup and gave thanks. You know, before the now here is the normal practice. Before you take like on the feast, before you take the supper, that supper, you sing a hymn while before you take and after you take. So Jesus was just done singing the hymn. Dayenu is the name of the hymn. Dayenu, where they talk, the hymn is to carry all what happened, how God led them, how he beat up, to make you know it has got nothing to do. Listen, it has got nothing to do with the new, what is happening in the new birth. Do you understand me? So they will sing a hymn of how God led them, what happened in Egypt, how the death angel came. Do you understand? It's a 15 stanza psalms or hymn that they sing. Now, after which Jesus took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it amongst yourself. For I said to you, I will not drink of the fruit of this wine until the kingdom of God comes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. After it was done, okay. Now look at verse 19. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. He said, this, okay. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Actually, it is translated, this you do in remembrance of me. Hallelujah. Look at what Jesus said. Verse 20 said, likewise, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of the betrayer is with me on the table. Now, he went ahead to say some things, and after which, read the account by Matthew. By Matthew, he the Bible says they sang another hymn. Do you understand me? They sang another hymn. Hallelujah. That hymn is the last hymn after the Passover is. And I want you to just, nothing concerns you with the hymn, but the hymn is a pointer to something. Do you understand me? It's a pointer to something. Now, the hymn that they will sing after the Passover is called Eliyahu Hanavi. It means Elijah the prophet is to come with the Messiah. What does that tell you? It was a pointer. Jonathan, remember, if you remember, they came asking him, are you Elijah? Jonathan, what did he say? Who did he refer to them as Elijah? John the Baptist.
Do you understand that? That is him. That is the Elijah. Okay, let's leave that. I just brought this so that you understand, you know what was happening there. These things were pointed to the real thing. Now, Jesus told them, this you do. Anytime you're doing it, he said you do it in remembrance. Meaning, all the time they were celebrating the Passover up until now, it was a pointer to him. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Let's look at what Paul had to say in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. Let's look at what Paul had to say. Okay, chapter 11, verse 17. He said, now, in giving this instruction, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. Now, listen to this. He said, you come together not for the better, but for the worse. Meaning they are supposed to come together for the better. But he said they are not doing, what they are doing is not for the better. Why? Verse 18. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I've explained this, N, which means D. When you come together as the church, I hear that there are divisions among you. I in part believe it. Okay. I believe it. Now verse 19. For there must also be factions, which is heresies. Is from the Greek word heresies, which means factions or groups. Do you understand me? A faction. We see that in Acts 15, verse 5. If I'm not mistaken, yeah, I'm correct. Acts chapter 15, verse 5. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, now, it says, but there are factions among you. He talks about the sect when they were talking about circumcision. The Bible says a sect of the Pharisees who believe. Do you understand? Okay, it means a faction. It means a faction. Now, it says, there must be also factions amongst you. You find that in, okay, Acts 5:17, 15:5, yeah, Acts 24, verse 5, 26, verse 5. Everything verse 5. Okay. Acts 28:22, 2 Peter 2:1, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. That same word, faction, heresy. Hallelujah. Contentions. You also find it in chapter 11, verse 8. Okay. No problem. Hallelujah. Now, verse 19. For there must be also factions among you, that those who approve may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Stop. What does he mean by the Lord's Supper? Do you understand? What does Paul mean by the Lord's Supper? My Bible student, we are doing this study together, right? What does it mean by the Lord's Supper? We have cleared that. We've cleared it that is not the Lord's Supper because it has existed before him. You understand? That was why I said, do you understand? Supper didn't start from that day. Do you understand? You know, it is this mindset we carry when we read, and then we immediately miss what contextual reading does. When we just carry this method and drop, do you understand me? We miss contextual reading. If we just carry it like that and say, okay, it means Lord's Supper. Lord's Supper means Holy Communion. You miss it. Understand? Very important. And that was why I had to clear that in Luke. Very well. Before we come. Okay, let's look at it this way. Okay, now he says, for in eating, okay, let's look at verse 21. He said, for in eating, remember, take note of the word Lord's Supper, right? And I say, for in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. Here's another word he used, his own supper. Meaning, listen,
Now, let's do contextual reading together. Everybody together. Read verses 17 to verses 23 on your own. And let's see. Verses 22. Contextual reading. Yeah, don't you let me know. Are you done? Are you done? Okay, if you are done, let me know. I want us to arrive at something. We will all arrive at the same thing together. Are you done? Who is done? Sister Ruth is reading it for the third time. Okay, just stop. Stop. Are you done? Okay, read Act of Apostles chapter 2, verse 42 to 46. Let's go together. Act of Apostles chapter 2, verse 42 to 46. Want to get what the Lord's Supper is. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Hallelujah. You know.
Hallelujah. 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 Few days ago, I was praying and a word dropped in my spirit. And that is why I'm spending a whole lot of time on this. You know the word that dropped in my spirit? Was walk in love. Just walk in love. Walk in honor. Walk in love. Walk in honor. And then what like
just like what happened, you have many signs and wonders. When you walk in love and walk in honor, you give room. You give room for the Spirit of God to have its course within and around you. While I was praying, that was in this week. Do you understand me? I wrote it in my small diary. I wrote it as it came. So I'm just trying to put it the way I remember now. But that's similar. What I said is similar to what I heard. And I wrote it down. And I prayed. We always told you guys, whenever I pray, whenever you pray, make sure you have writing material. You hear words. I wrote it down. And that's why I'm spending time on this. Now look at this. So then fear, okay, verse 34. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and divided them amongst all as anyone had need. So continually daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord did what? Added to the church daily those who have been saved. Jude, verse. Whenever I call Jude, the first that comes to my head is Jude 20. But today, let's go to Jude 12. Jude is before Revelation 12. Are you in verse 12? These are spots in your love feast. Why they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves? They are clouds without water, carried about by the wind. Late autumn tree without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the root. He says, these are spots in your love feast. He was pointing out some things in there. Now, use the word love feast. Hallelujah. 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 Yeah. Hallelujah. So, Luke. Old King James said, this is the spot in your act of love, Abby. Faith. Feast of charity is also called love feast. Thank you. Even Jesus Christ, when he resurrected, broke bread. We knew that. Luke 24, verses 29 and 41. Now, listen. Here's what I wrote. Breaking of bread was a general practice of believers. Do you understand me? It's a general practice. They break bread. They drink wine. They break bread from house to house. It was a show of love. Do you understand me? It was a show of love. Now, with this said, go back to 1 Corinthians. That chapter 5. Let's look at it critically now together. Was it chapter 5? Chapter 11. Sorry, chapter 11. Let's look at it together first. Now, it says, therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Why? The next question, right? Why? Now, verse 21 answers, you say, for in eating, each of you takes his own supper ahead of others. Which is, one is hungry and another is drunk. Meaning, they take excess. And what happened to others? Listen, what do you not have? What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Do you understand? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? Did you see? Automatically. Listen, Paul said what they were doing is not the Lord's Supper. Because for you to be the Lord's Supper, the Lord's Supper, it's going to entail love. Do you understand me? In the breaking of bread. Do you understand that? So it is the Lord's Supper, not because they were drinking and saying, oh, do it in remembrance of me. No. It's the Lord's Supper because it depicts love. Do you understand that? Not Lord's Supper because it's communion day. It's Lord's Supper because it is an act of love. It's supposed to be an act of love. Now, because if they were not doing it in love, contention or division was in their midst, he said, it's not the Lord's Supper you have in. Hallelujah. So now he spoke to their demise. And he said what? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What else? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. Did you see that? Paul is using a harsh tone here. Paul is harsh. I do not praise you in this. I do not. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, verse 23. For I received from the Lord. Now, we're going to look at this together in the next 5 minutes. Now, I said, for I received from the Lord that which I deliver to you. See, many a time, I was thinking, Paul got this one by revelation.
just let Jesus appear and say, now this is what I did on the table.
Eh? But on looking at it closely again,
I discovered something. Do you know what I discovered? Paul was quoting from whom?
Luke. Do you understand? Now look at what he said. I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. Hallelujah. This sounds similar with what Luke said in Luke chapter 1.
You know, Luke was not an eyewitness. Hope you know that. Luke wasn't an eyewitness.
Yeah, Luke learned, or Luke wrote what he wrote based on information he had from eyewitnesses.
Luke chapter 1. Let's look at verse 1. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 1.
Now it says, inasmuch as many have taken in hands to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses. He didn't say he was one. Do you understand me? He said, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us. Did you see that? So, Luke would have written his account based on what John wrote. Because if you look at 1 John chapter 1, let's go to 1 John. Look at 1 John chapter 1.
Okay, put one hand in 2 Peter and we'll jump to Peter. Okay, let's quickly look at 2 Peter first. I'm coming to 1 John chapter 1. 2 Peter 1 verse 17.
Okay, for verse 16. Say, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we are eyewitness of his majesty. Do you understand that? Peter said that. Look at what John said. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 1. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and we've looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Did you see that? The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. Hallelujah. Did you get that? So automatically ruled Luke
out. He was not an eyewitness.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Luke wasn't. Hallelujah. Now, meaning Luke too
wrote it based on what he had. From who? The eyewitness, right? Right? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now look at what he said Paul too would be quoting, or is quoting from what Luke said. Look at what he said. He said, if I receive from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord on the same night which he was betrayed took bread. Stop. Chapter 10. Look at the way we are just turning. Chapter 10, verse 14. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, flee idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourself what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Mark the word communion. Koinonia. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Now,
please take note of what Paul is about to say next, because that explains what he's saying.
Look at what he said next. He says, for we, though many, are one bread and one body. So, did you see that?
Paul wasn't instituting this also. Wasn't instituting it there. He said, we are what? One bread and what?
One body. So, he's taking off from the Lord's Supper that they usually have.
You know what is Lord's Supper now, right?
The working love that they had, and he said, we are all one what?
One bread and one body. Hallelujah. So that will give us something to look at here. But we'll see. Remember, we're taking it chapter by chapter as we're studying the book of Corinth.
I could have given us an overview of everything, but we're going from chapter to chapter. So now we understand we are,
permit the fact that we are using it chapter to chapter. But we are running it as it goes.
Okay, let me do it from paragraph to paragraph. So we are reading in context all through.
Now look at this. He says, I have just 5 minutes, I can do it. Now he said, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. Hallelujah. He would have received it from the Lord through them. Hallelujah. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Now do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Now, verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Hallelujah. Now, stop.
Before now, what Paul just said,
you have to look at what he has written before to understand what he's writing, because he's writing figuratively here. Now look at what he said in verse 26. So as often as you eat this bread, first look at chapter 10 again thoroughly. He said, the bread which you break, is it not the communion of the body? Do you understand that? He said, is this not the communion of the body? He said, this you do in remembrance of me. Now, verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats this bread, this is the conclusion, or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner. Now, when he used the word of the Lord, he's referring to
what? In love. Right?
Is in love. Right? Okay, let's move together. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner. What is unworthy manner? The way they are doing it. Neglecting the other brethren. Do you understand me? Now, what does he refer to now as the drinking of the bread? I mean, when I say drinking of bread,
what are young people for? I've said it. Hallelujah. Now,
what does he refer to as the drinking of the wine and the breaking of the bread? What does it refer to? Read in context.
We just saw it in context. The breaking of bread that has become the walking law. The walking law. The Bible says they went from house to house breaking bread. They were not doing communion service every day, but as they break bread with those that don't have. We're going to get to chapter 16, where I'll be able to talk to us a bit about giving. A bit. We'll just talk about it, how he spoke to the church at Corinth. Just talk about giving. Now, you see the fact that sharing with brethren, the life of the believer is a sacrificial life. Take note. You have to write that down. It's a sacrificial life. That's why I said, it is not you saying Christianity, my salvation, my Christian work is a personal race. There is no personal race in Christianity. I'm actually confusing that. There is no personal salvation in Christianity. Bible says we have a common salvation, right? He said we are born into
a family, Adolphus.
Do you understand? Born into a family, born into a lineage, born into a home. We are born somewhere. Do you understand me? And there is
John, 1 John. I want to show you something from 1 John. 1 John. He spoke about John writing about love.
didn't want to look at this today, but we're going to look at it. Okay. 1 John chapter 3. Look at verse 18. Oh, verse 1, verse 16 to 18. Okay, it says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. It's sacrificial. Did you see that? Never, I say something, I say never.
In the Bible say, just declare your love to God. Oh, Father, I love you. Depth of my bone, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. You were never told to do that. Were you told to do that from the Bible? You never told to declare your love to God. But rather, he said, you show forth your love. For God so loved the world that he gave. Love is expressed. Love is an action. Do you understand me? It's an activity. Glory to God. Let's look at it. He says, by this we know you love because, by this we know love because he laid down his life for us. That is the definition of love. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We also walk in love. We ought to. Glory to God. You ought to. Sister Ruth, you know I love you, the love of God shed abroad in our heart. But you know, Sister Ruth, see this 1,000 or see this thing, you can't take it. Do you understand? Love. Sister Ruth comes and says, boy, okay, no eating for the past 2 weeks. The Lord will fill your stomach. No, just place your hands on your stomach. Say, I eat. Say, I'm full. Say, I'm full. Let's read ahead. He said, but whoever has this world, for whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shut up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Did you see? My little children, let us not love in words. Don't love in words or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By this we know we are of the truth and are assured. And shall assure our hearts before him. Hallelujah. But if our heart condemns us, he's greater than our hearts. Hallelujah. 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 So it's very important. It's a show of love. What has happened there was a show of love. Now, Paul uses that to say, now, number one, did Jesus institute a holy communion in the Bible? We just read something. He did Passover with them. He carried, they have been drinking it before he was born. You understand? Have they not been drinking it? So he just brought meaning to it. He just told them, this is the meaning. So as often as you've been doing it, you're doing it in remembrance of me. Now Christ is our Passover. Glory to God. They say, that's Passover that they've been celebrating. Christ is our Passover. He remember, he told them, you know, most times I see some things I've said some months or years back, and I laugh at myself. I don't laugh and say, how did I go enter this ditch? Yes, now, just a few months back, I said some things like, Sabbath day worship. But hey, the Lord is my Sabbath. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. I'm in charge of the Sabbath. I am the Sabbath. Hallelujah. Did you understand that? Contextual reading is very important. So, Paul, let's go back to our chapter 5. So, Paul never instituted a communion table. It's sad. We'll cover the earth with the truth in Jesus' name. Just few weeks back. By the most times, I should go off. I'll say it after. Just remind me, what did you want to say that few weeks back?
Jonathan, and I'll have to tell you guys, because you guys are here, you get it as a dose. There are sometimes in Bible study, or you hear some things, you keep quiet.
Don't even say it until you stop. You understand? Very important, don't even say a word.
It will go a whole long way. Just like as we are done now, I don't expect you to just go and sit down. I want to expect you to go back and search this matter
again. You understand? Study again. You have questions. You have my WhatsApp.
What's happening? You understand me? We'll talk about it. You understand?
You can still show me light.
Hallelujah. But I believe the supper. Passover supper came before Christ. So Christ wouldn't have been instituting something that was there before him. But rather, he gave us the pointer to himself. Right?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And then he tells us. Now let's look at that Luke. There's something I want to show you in that. Is it Luke? Yes, it is in Luke. Luke. Just immediately after Jesus told them, do this in remembrance of me, he told them a new commandment I give you, love your neighbors. Do you understand? And when I was like, woo! Explained in context. Do you understand? Explained in context. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at. Okay. I'm going to send us that as I'll send it on the WhatsApp group. I guess it's in one of the accounts, either Luke or Matthew. Matthew or Luke. One of the accounts. If you read in context, because I had to read all of them in context. Do you understand? Read in context again and again and again. It's there. Do you understand? Hallelujah. 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 So, as I round up, let's look at the First Corinthians chapter five again. Now, when he says to them, take out the unleavened bread. Okay, let me wait. There's something I want to read to us from Luke 14:24. That was looking for. Luke, let me just check it. Let me check Luke 14:24 quickly. Yeah, I underline that in my Bible. Okay. Okay, just a pointer, Luke 14:24. Just a pointer to something to us, but it's past now. We've been able to explain it without it. Say, for I say to you that, Luke 14:24, for I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. We're talking about the great supper and how he invited men and they didn't come, then he went to the poor. I said, none of those men will taste my supper. We talk about taste my supper. We're not talking about taste communion wine. We're talking about have a place with himself. Hallelujah. 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 Okay. Now, so when Paul said you should take out the old living, he was referring to what he said they should do to the guys.
The guys that are found in such sexual immoral acts.
that they should what? Excommunicate them. Expose them to open rebuke. Do you understand? Expose them to open rebuke. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then chapter 11. Closing remarks. Chapter 11. My closing remarks. Chapter 11. Are you there? 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 11, 11, 11, 11. Are you there with me? He said, verse 29. For he who eat and drink in an unworthy manner, eat and drink judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. When he talks about drinking in an unworthy manner, what does it mean? How were they drinking and eating? Eh? Eh? Yeah. Neglecting others. Selfishness. Do you understand me? He said, drink judgment to himself. He said, he's not discerning the Lord's body.
We know what the Lord's body is now, identifying the church, right? Right? Hallelujah. Who
is the Lord's body? The church is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, he now said, for this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep, which is died. For if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. Meaning, because of this act of theirs, people don't have. Eh? You alone, your carcass, you understand? Many, he said, are weak. Many became sick. Malnutrition, no food. And many died. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Walk in love. So Paul was telling them there. Walk in love towards the brethren. Walk in love. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Even in chapter 12, he told them about spiritual gifts. In chapter 13, he told them to walk in love. Even with the spiritual gifts. You understand me? He told them to walk in love. He says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Hallelujah. It's love. It isn't the fruit of the Spirit are. It said the fruit of the Spirit is love. Hallelujah. 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 So Christ is our Passover lamb. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Verse 7 I read. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Hallelujah. In him we have redemption. Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. Let's be on our feet and thank him. Let's worship him. Let's thank him for the words we heard.